This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
You're standing at the door with a bowl of candy. Why can't you?
Because I don't think 17-year-old girls with no costume on. They didn't have a costume on. You shouldn't be allowed.
Who cares?
They were just using Halloween to get candy.
Who cares? It's Halloween.
I do.
Again,
just
give them candy.
Just use the holiday for your own selfish purposes.
And the bulldog.
So you'd rather have them toilet paper your house?
Well, I didn't know that there was going to be felony a treat. I don't think the trick extended to felonies.
Why would it kill you just to give them a few pieces of candy? I don't understand that. Should there be?
Well,
who cares?
Well, they're going to be 40? Trick-or-treating at 40?
Where did they spot
this? Try a free candy? I'm 40 years old.
On WGR.
I don't have a lot of experience with vampires, but I have hunted werewolves. I shot one once, but by the time I got to it, it had turned back into my neighbor's dog.
Sports Radio 550.
Okay, yes, another Curb clip. Much better. Much better than listening to the Sabres explain things to me that I just can't take anymore. I mean, I don't even know what to say about it, as I clearly demonstrated.
I'm tapped out, though. That's all you got for Curb. That's all that's in the. It's in there.
Yeah.
It's not the easiest show to make opens out of.
No. I like the ones we have. I don't know. I don't know how hard they were to make.
They're not hard. Well, they're not hard to make. It's hard to find subject material that's funny and also suitable for air.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Hard to make. Joe was telling me earlier about making rice.
Yes. I made rice.
The three of us are all wannabe cooks.
Yeah.
Right?
All improving, I feel like, too.
I feel like I might be.
Yeah, I think I am.
What I've noticed is I'm not spending as many trips rereading the recipes. Like, I'm not constantly reading them over and over again. Part of doing it well is the timing, you know? Like, when to start something, when to start that part, when you've already started this part and everything. So it sort of flows when you're making a dinner or something. And I was thinking about this yesterday because I made dinner for my family yesterday. I'm now doing that pretty much all the time when I'm not at work. And like, oh, my wife's very, very flattering. She's like, Daddy made this, you know. Yesterday I made paprikash.
No earthly idea what that might be.
So it's like a Hungarian beef stew kind of a meat with egg noodles, or you could use potatoes, paprikash, or as my daughter called it, papa screech.
Okay.
Beef papa screech. So, like, my wife is very nice about, Daddy made this, you know, like, they're all getting used to me cooking more. And, you know, then we eat and we talk about how it turned out. Oh, I did this, did this, did this. But it doesn't, I'm just copying off recipes, you know? Like, I'll have an idea, or we'll have a certain protein in the house. Like, okay, what can we make with that? And I'll go to the Food Network app and search something, and I'll take a class on something or read a recipe even, and just basically copy it verbatim. That doesn't really feel like I'm doing anything, though. It doesn't really feel like mine if I'm just copying, trying to get it exactly like what the recipe says. And then maybe we'll have friends over, like, oh, this is really good. Good job. I'm like, well, thank you. But I was just sort of, I mean, I really didn't do anything. I was just reading off the sheet. So I think that maybe you're not really anybody at this until you actually sort of put your own twists on things.
See, I'm like making stuff that I just like, I'll show up and be like, all right, I what do I got in here? I'm just like experimenting with stuff. Like, I'm not usually following my recipes, but what I'm doing is usually pretty simplistic. So, I don't know. Maybe that's a way for me to continue to get better at cooking. But I also feel as though if I had been following certain recipes like you are, I'd probably be enjoying my meals more recently, if you know what I mean. So the recipe might present me with better options, but I'm playing the slow game. So, yeah, the rice was my ordeal, though, last night. Because, again, simplistic. Go with the bagged rice. You just dump in the boiled water. Super easy. It takes 6 minutes. All you do is open up the bag, and that's all you got. Tried, like, all right, I'm gonna make real rice. Like, I'm going to do it, like, the old-fashioned way. I'm going to boil the water, stick it in there for 40 minutes, soaks up all the water and such. The box doesn't tell you, or the bag doesn't tell you, how much salt to put in there. So I'm like, all right.
It doesn't tell you. It
doesn't tell you.
It just says add salt.
Yeah, it just says add salt. So I'm like, all right, I'm not going to put that much in there. And I think I put, like, a teaspoon in there. For not as much rice as probably that was meant for, because the rice was insanely salty.
It turned out being too much.
Yeah. But that's where I'm at. I'm like trial by error type of area for cooking.
I think I mentioned this before. Bobby Flay. So you salt the water when you're making pasta.
Right.
It says, you know, you can put a little bit in there. And Bobby Flay says it should taste like the ocean. When you taste the water after having salted the water before you put the noodles in, it should taste like the ocean. Like, that's pretty salty.
That's really salty.
I have another friend who's a chef. I won't name him because I don't know if he'd want everybody knowing he said this. Maybe he would. Probably nothing, but this is my instinct. Be careful. So we were talking about cooking, and he said, I said, well, you know, I'm starting to get into it, and I'm cooking for friends sometimes and more people, but I think I'm favoring with the butter. I'm going a little bit overboard on the butter because I just have this feeling like butter is why it tastes good. Butter is here to help me. I'm trying to impress here. I'll use a little, make sure I don't scrimp on the butter because I want it to be good. And then I was talking to him and I said, well, I know eventually I'll cut back on that because I won't really, it feels like cheating a little bit to add butter. And he said, listen, never cut back on that. So what's the point? You want it to taste good? That's the point. Don't worry about it. I don't want to tell you who he is because then maybe you'll go to his restaurant and think, oh, this is just all the butter, my body can handle. I don't even think he's really good. But I'm just a little bit careful there. So, yeah, we're all kind of getting into cooking. And Super Bowl is a big food day. The Super Bowl is the second ranking day in America for eating behind Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is number one.
And then Super Bowl is number two?
Yep. Americans eat more on Thanksgiving than any other day. Super Bowl Sunday is second. It's often like chips and everything.
Yeah,
I was
gonna say,
like
it's more
too.
Like snack food, though.
Can be.
You're not getting like a... Thanksgiving is like a meal or two, depending.
From last night's curb, pigs in a blanket. Is it Jeff who says, doesn't matter what else, foofy. He used the word foofy, I think, last night in the episode. Doesn't matter how foofy everything else is, pigs in a blanket, everybody wants them. And meatballs, the tiny meatballs.
Yes.
Swedish meatballs or just the whatever flavor, the tiny ones.
Yep.
Can't go wrong. Shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Joe?
Yeah, that's what you're getting on Super Bowl Sunday more so.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine with all that.
Your meal is just constant snack food from beginning of the day to the end of the day.
That's so it. Be it.
So it's one big long meal, really, is what Super Bowl Sunday is.
Okay.
Sure, I'm in.
Fine. Do you have a favorite Super Bowl?
Yes. Cardinals Steelers.
Really?
Definitely. Loved that Super Bowl. I wasn't a Steeler fan, but I loved Troy Polamalu growing up. Like, I played defensive back in the little football that I played as a kid. And I always loved Polamalu. Like, it's one of the only non-Bills jerseys I've ever had. So I was kind of into that game. And like, for drama and down the stretch, the big play at the end of the first half. I also like seeing fresh teams in the Super Bowl. That's why I like the Patriots, like you mentioned earlier, like they're just boring to me in the Super Bowl every year after year after year. And having teams that have never really been there is always cool to me. And the Cardinals was that for sure. So yeah, that kind of had a little bit of everything for me.
I don't know how this sounds. Like, I agree with that to a point, but I also want a certain legitimacy.
And the Cardinals would not.
The Cardinals
that.
Did not provide my needed amount of legitimacy.
But it's like, it's the Cardinals, but they've got like Hall of Fame talent. Like, Kurt Warner's the quarterback, and it's Larry Fitzgerald with the huge play that nobody will ever remember at the end of the fourth quarter. Yep. And
their playoff
like, even
run,
Anquan Boldin. Like,
their playoff run was a pretty good fluke, though. You're right. And Warner. I mean, Warner, what an interesting short well, not really that short, but
it was short and
came up late.
Yeah,
his career. Okay, I mean, I didn't feel it. I didn't feel like the Cardinals were. I don't know that they belonged. It's a little bit of a snobby kind of comment. A
little bit,
but they were a
Cardinal
lucky,
fan would take offense to that. I think.
Are there any
here? No.
Ever any. They were just kind of on a lucky path that year. They might have been the NFC Championship might have been 5-6. Philadelphia
Maybe,
and Arizona.
I think when looking up, like the likelihood that the Bills could have hosted the NFC Championship game, I feel like that was the last time it happened. Maybe.
I think
or one of the last times
they played Atlanta, and then they might have been like 5-6. Then they beat somebody, and the Eagles might have beaten the Giants on the heels of winning the Super Bowl at the Giants the second week as a 6, and then I think that might have been 5-6.
Arizona was the 4, so it was 4-6.
4-6.
They had a home game against Atlanta to open the playoffs, then they were at Carolina, and then they hosted Philly.
Okay, same thing. They won at Carolina? Oh, that's DeLome. They won at Carolina.
33-13.
Yeah. I said some reason for expecting you to pick that game.
The 6 in the AFC made the AFC Championship game that year too, by the way. Baltimore. So both 6s made the Super Bowl. Don't remember that at all. Pittsburgh,
no,
Baltimore,
they
AFC
they,
Championship.
They didn't make the Super Bowl, but they made the championship.
They made the conference championship.
Okay, right. Like Tennessee just did.
Yep.
These teams have legitimacy, and they're not New England. That's pretty much all I need.
Kansas City has more legitimacy than Arizona?
Sure.
Why? Like, okay, like they've been good,
two
but
seed.
they're not the epitome of like making the Super Bowl or like success in the playoffs either.
No, but they've been consistently good. They've been a playoff team for years. They were the 2 seed last year. They were the 2 seed this year. They have the NFL MVP from last year on their team. The coach is coaching the Super Bowl. All of Arizona is Ken Whisenhunt, a weird, fluky postseason run. What was their record? 9-7? Like, they weren't even good that year, let alone the year before. That's the difference. Kansas City is legit to me. Are they not to you?
They are. They're just... They're the team of my life that's like they can never get to the big one. Like they always fall short in the postseason.
And, so this is throwing you off a little bit.
Yeah, well, because while that is... like I recognize that is obviously way more... they're way more successful as a franchise than like the Browns or like Arizona even. Like those teams to me are looked at as a joke and that they're always just terrible. The Chiefs have been good, but they're also in a way kind of have been a joke that you're always right there and you can never win the big one. You never can get to the big one. And to me that's a certain level of they almost feel like the Sharks, when the Sharks made the Stanley Cup a couple years ago, it was the same thing for me. It's like, all right, fine, you're doing this now, but like your reputation is still what it was.
I think Mahomes is on track to totally rewrite that image of the Chiefs.
He is.
Like, they were a good team with Alex Smith and going back a lot farther, Gerbach or Matt Cassel, quarterbacks like that, Trent Green, these guys that... you know, we're able to be the quarterback of Chiefs teams that were playoff teams, but this guy has elevated that. And so this is Brady in New England, maybe, where the Patriots are also one of those teams you're just describing. And then they're in the Super Bowl. Well, they were in the Super Bowl once with Bledsoe, but they're in the Super Bowl with Brady, and they win it, and 2 years later they're back, and they win again, and then eventually they're no longer – that franchise that sort of is a tier below, then they're just, it's rewritten. And Mahomes is on track to do that. He's doing that with Kansas City so far. The first year he doesn't play, they go to the playoffs anyway. They lose to Mariota and the Titans 2 years ago. Last year he's the NFL MVP. Shocking, incredible. They're in overtime of the AFC Championship game. They lose. He doesn't get the ball. Then this. So I think that's just how it changes, right? It recalibrates it. I think for somebody else, as far as the Bills go, like, what are the Bills? You know, for the 24-year-old football fan in Kansas City, like you here, conscientious, you pay attention, you look at it, try to look at it honestly, what are the Bills? The Bills are just a team you play. They're a team that, not so, like up to this year, basically, or now, either way. But if you're trying to name all the teams, you want to not forget them, like they're a team in the league.
Yeah.
And the idea of them being in the Super Bowl is like a foreign concept, or a team that, you know.
Sure.
I'm sort of speaking for you here, but.
But for me, like there's a certain element of that maybe this is just me personally, but I always see like, oh, that's fresh to me. Like, that it's not the same old uniforms even. It's not the same old players. Like, this is something that I don't always get to see on Super Bowl Sunday. The Cardinals gave me that a little bit. I always remember the Seahawks for being that. Like, I rooted for the Seahawks when they first started getting good, and they had their new jerseys and the new quarterback, and, like, all of it was new and fresh, and, like, it was cool. It was kind of trendy to like the Seahawks at that point. And then once a team is, like, there and hanging around, like, I probably only was that interested in, like, seeing them win in the first year that they were, like, really good. And then it just kind of got stale.
Hasselbeck. Or are you talking
like
about
right
Russell
Wilson? Right when Wilson gets
okay.
there.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
So that's kind of – there is an element of that, though, with Kansas City, too. So that's why I don't want to differentiate them too much. So maybe they're almost perfect in that they have some – like, they have a reputation, like, a good one for being in this game. But they also, like – Mahomes is probably the biggest thing. Like, Mahomes almost makes the Chiefs not, like, the way I've thought about the Chiefs my entire life.
Yep. I think with the Bills – like, so I'm just saying all that and judging that strictly on the basis of their teams, like what they've accomplished. Do they have a great player? Do they get to the playoffs? Do they win playoff games? Whatever else. Like, are they on at night? Like, the Bills have not been any of those things for a long time. But I think, anyway, the Bills have become the fans. The fans have become the Bills. The Bills... most identifiable trait is the fans to someone else, to someone out there. Like, well, this isn't really a point for us because, you know, whatever, it's us. But the fan in Kansas City I'm talking about, or Tennessee, or wherever, I kind of feel like it's hard to judge this from inside, from where I'm sitting. But I kind of think in a national sense, the fans have become what the Bills are. The traveling, the mafia, the tables, the fact that the pictures from Houston, the pictures from Nashville this year, Thanksgiving, like all they got attention this year. And the profiles of the players, like the fans are always seemingly a part of the story. And I was talking with a friend on Saturday about this at our daughter's hockey and how... he's like, I've lived in different places. I don't know. We were talking about other things and just got to this point. It's just, it takes no time at all. When you're in another city, he was telling me about, I don't know where, maybe it was Charleston. When you're in another city, it takes no time at all to find a group of Bills fans to watch a game with. It's amazing. It just takes no time at all. You can find them instantly and they're closer than you think and it's great. Everywhere you go, you find this pocket of fans. And I said this to him, and I'd never really thought this before, but the way it was sounding, we were talking, like they're like America's team in that way. That everywhere you, the Dallas fan might be a little bit embarrassed, you know? Like, yeah, I'm a Dallas fan, right? Why? Well, they won when I was little. The Bills fan is, he or she probably does have ties to the area. Unless the Travis Yost story is kind of a different story. Did you hear him the other day answer why he's a Bills fan? Because when he was really little, he lived on Long Island. He wanted to know, and he might still, he wanted to know why, how many teams are there in New York State? How many teams are actually in New York? And he said how his father gave him this sort of cheeky, well, that's actually only one, the Bills. And he decided that would be his team, and he still has them as his team. But just... thinking of, I think the fans have become such the story about the Bills. Like, it's this pack of wild people that will go anywhere and do anything. And when you play this team, it's different. People in Nashville this year, probably a lot of them were just taken aback totally by how many people showed up and just what that experience was like. And Houston might have been like that. And other places might have been like that. And that is sort of our, I think, identifying characteristic. or that franchise's identifying characteristic. It's the fan base. And lots has been said and written about the fan base, and it's always how loyal it is and how passionate and all these things, but it has often bothered me because I just think it's only possible to have it be like that if the team isn't better. Like, if the team is winning, then the team is the thing. But if the team isn't winning, well, we have this group of people that follow, we'll go anywhere with them, and they're super passionate and rabid and loyal and all this. It's great. And it just sort of feels like the team should be better, and that should be, like, the main thing. But it isn't like that, and that could be in the process of changing. The Bills and the fans had a great synergy this year, where the team was winning and getting more attention and getting the night game and getting Thanksgiving. And then the fan story was on display from that. So I don't know. I think that is sort of the first thing a lot of football fans in other places would think of when they think of the Bills. It's the fans. And, oh, I know this guy's a Bills fan and he's from there and so-and-so. Like, there's these connections that exist that are everywhere. I mean, The Bachelor is tonight. I love to watch The Bachelor. The guy who runs the show is one of us. He's from here. And he listens to this show to keep in touch with the Bills. And, like, he's also running the show that I watch on Monday nights. I just feel like it's just really profound and has made a real, I mean, not even that recently necessarily, for a long time, has made this impact on the football scene. So I don't know if America's team is quite right, but I think they're known for the fans. I think the Bills are kind of known for having that following. The offseason, of course, is here with the Bills losing in Houston, and we're into the period before the Super Bowl now. Just grasping for a segue because I want to change the subject pretty fast. Sal coming up, we'll talk a little bit about the Senior Bowl this week, and mostly about the Super Bowl and the matchup between the Chiefs and the 49ers. We'll do that. After this, Mike Shope here, Bulldog back with me tomorrow. This is WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right. Nice to have you along. It is Martin Luther King Day. Hope you're enjoying yourselves out there. No school. Wife's home from work. Very relaxing Monday morning. Everybody home. No need to stress out getting kids ready for the bus or anything. That all changed, however, when we realized that the kid's bedroom, the bathroom, toilet was running all night. And it was my daughter who woke up noticing water all over the place, and like, that was not good. So I would have traded this morning for like a school morning with a little bit of stress, actually. Mike Shope here, Bulldog is off today. Sneaky Joe along as well. He was on before this show, and we'll be on after. So stay tuned for Joe tonight. Sal Capaccio, as the music tells you, joining us now on the Wester Hotline. Sal made it to Mobile, Alabama for the upcoming Senior Bowl. Set the scene for us here, Sal. What are you looking at?
Well, we have media day tomorrow, and then we have practices. The North and the South will both practice Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We'll have access to Brandon Bean most likely tomorrow at some point in the afternoon. Talk a little bit about, you know, the Bills and, you know, what they're kind of looking at down here. Sean McDermott has spoken here in the past. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. He's in his third year. He'll be more so available at other things in the offseason, but we'll hear from Brandon Bean and then, you know, get a chance to watch practices, watch guys and talk to them after practices. And then the game is on Saturday. I won't be here for the game. By then, all the stuff that, you know, we need for my purposes basically is over, but it'll get me a chance to watch practices and talk to players for sure.
I know the Bills have drafted plenty of players who played in this game. Is this the number one college all-star game?
Yeah, I think it is, Mike. You know, you have the East-West Shrine Game, you have the Senior Bowl. I mean, there's a couple others out there, but most of them, this is really the best of the best, as Jim Nagy actually said when he was on with Howard this morning. You know, you get the seniors and pretty much anybody who's going to be, you know, want to be drafted at all, but much less in the first few rounds, you're going to be here. So they had a lot of guys drafted last year. They've traditionally have a lot of the guys that get drafted, you know, as part of their rosters here. Not everyone, of course. So yeah, I would say this is where most of the talent goes. Now, obviously, if you are considered a really high pick, and in a case like Joe Burrow, where you don't really have to necessarily come out here and you can only do yourself harm, then good. A lot of times you see that at the combine as well. You're not going to get some players, but it usually is considered, I would say, you know, the best of the best as far as the draft eligible prospects and where they're playing.
Also, a rivalry that should even be a better rivalry than it is, North versus South. Those are two teams that have a history, and you'd like to see some intensity when it comes to that. So let's we'll talk more about, I'm sure.
Yeah, but Mike, here's the other thing. Some of the teams on the South and the North like don't match up to South and North geographically. It's kind of weird.
Wouldn't you know it? My son is taking a recent interest in which teams are in which divisions in the NFL, and he's got a problem with Dallas. Mm-hmm. He's got a problem with Dallas being in the East. So,
well, how about Baylor? Baylor, the North, is on the North. I mean, you know, is Baylor really North? I don't know. I don't think so. Georgia Southern. There's a kid from Georgia Southern who's on the North team. That doesn't make sense to me.
Got
to
balance it out. Baylor, number one in the country in men's basketball for the first time. And they host Carlin Hartman's Oklahoma Sooners tonight. Thought I'd slip that in. Okay, let's talk Super Bowl. We'll take each team one at a time here. The Chiefs as the 2 seed in the AFC. AFC Championship home team last year. This year with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, they get there. By no means were they ever a long shot, Sal. There were times this year when I wondered, thinking about the Bills and what might lay out for them in the playoffs, that Kansas City could have been a matchup not worth worrying about. Who knows what would have happened? We didn't get that game. But this is a worthy Super Bowl team.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I picked Kansas City to go to the Super Bowl this year. I picked them to lose to the Philadelphia Eagles. So they obviously aren't there. So I got the AFC part of it right. And I think, you know, Mike, going back to last year and watching what Patrick Mahomes did and then seeing their season in totality and how close they came, it was pretty much an easy pick for a lot of people, right? I mean, for me, it was, okay, Kansas City, who's going to beat them? And at the end of the day, I really couldn't see anybody keeping up with them offensively. And that's what happened. That's what their season was. Now, they had some ups and downs early in the season. They were a little inconsistent. They lost Patrick Mahomes. But at the end of the day, they just score too much. Teams just can't keep up with them. And as good as some other teams, you know, have been, even Tennessee, as much as they've had been rolling and even scoring points, but playing good defense, running the ball, playing keep away, whatever, it doesn't matter. Patrick Mahomes and that offense, they get the ball, they can score from anywhere, they can score quickly. They erased a 24-point deficit. They erased a 17-point deficit. I'm sorry, a 10-point deficit. You know, it doesn't matter. So I like them here as the AFC representative in the Super Bowl. I think they're, like you said, worthy, but I also think they're very deserving.
How about Sammy Watkins, Sal? Where are you at with Watkins? Obviously, he didn't have like a great season or anything. He had an amazing week one and then was kind of just an afterthought for most of the season. Shows up yesterday. Really, I don't know if there's a big story to tell or conclusion to draw from it. I just felt good for him. I felt like Watkins was somebody that, you know, took a lot of heat for being hurt among whatever else while he was with the Bills, and I'm glad to see him do well.
Yeah, Sammy's somebody I followed for a long time, going all the way back to his days at South Fort Myers High School in Florida, and then on to Clemson when he was incredible, even as a freshman. He was pretty much, it seemed like every week, the best player on the field in college. Obviously, then the Bills wind up drafting him in the manner in which they did, which still has a lot, you know, people questioning why they did that, and, you know, we can revisit that. But, you know, he was certainly a terrific college player. I thought he was a very good player for the Bills, a 1,000-yard receiver. He almost had 1,000 yards twice in his career. I think it was his rookie year. He just missed it at the end of the year. You know, I'm a guy who likes Sammy Watkins. I think that he's got a lot of talent. Unfortunately, he's had some injuries that have set him back. It is an interesting season for him, though. You're right. He had 198 yards and 3 touchdowns in week 1. He goes the rest of the year, does not break 100 yards, doesn't even score a touchdown until yesterday. And really, I think, Mike, what it comes down to is he's just a cog in that machine. That's what he is. He's one guy. They have so many of them, and you never know. And when your number is called, when your turn is called, whether that's Travis Kelce a week ago or Sammy Watkins this week, somebody, you know, that if you're going to game plan for somebody, somebody else is going to be open. And that's what happened yesterday. They were able to find Sammy Watkins. He had some one-on-one coverage, a couple busted coverages. So I feel good for Sammy Watkins. I think he's a very good player. And, you know, but what's interesting to me is he got paid pretty good and wasn't like exorbitant money, but he got paid a nice contract. But he goes there and he's not a guy that's putting up incredible numbers every week. He's a guy, though, that I think still has a lot of talent, is just part of what they're doing in Kansas City, which is an entire complete offense.
Yeah, and I'm not sure this needs to be said, but one thing you can say about that is, like, you don't need all your best players to be your highest paid players. Like, you can afford, with the way the cap works in football, with how it's always escalating, and I mean, we're talking about so much money and so many players, that, I mean, the Chiefs are well off for having Watkins. They certainly would, you know, I shouldn't say certainly, but I'd assume that they would, you know, with an option to get out of it, that they wouldn't, that they would stay right there with Watkins, and he has this game yesterday to help them get to the Super Bowl. You don't need every big contract you sign to be necessarily a home run. Some can be singles.
Yeah, and, you know, he's making his money, $48 million is what the contract he signed, and then Tyreek Hill, who's his teammate, signs a $54 million contract just this past offseason, basically, or shortly. Was it last year? I think it was this offseason after everything happened, or right before everything happened. But you get the point, is they're paying these guys a lot of money. And, you know, obviously they have different skill sets. They're used in different ways. They do have highly paid players on offense. But I think it's their defense, really, that stepped up a lot of times when they've needed them to. Now, they didn't play terrifically well in the first parts of these playoff games, but they made some plays when they were needed. And I thought they played really well in the second half yesterday, and that really kind of enabled them to kind of pull away when they needed to.
All right, the 49ers. I mean, what a sight to see, watching a team dominate up front, gash a defense like the 49ers did yesterday, and they've been doing plenty of that this season. It really is sort of a throwback thing. The quarterback throws 8 passes, Sal. I'm thinking of Bob Greasy in Super Bowl 8 throwing 7 passes, and they just pretty much waltz to victory. How about that team and how they win?
I think they've been the most balanced and most consistent football team all season. And no, their passing game isn't up there with a team like Kansas City, but they've had a couple games where they've had to, like, yep, against the Saints, when Garoppolo had to really, you know, go out there and throw the ball down the field. And they've done that. They have shown that they can win in multiple ways. If you want to stop their running game, they can throw on you. They're not going to blow you away with it, but they're good enough at it. They have good players, especially George Kittle. I think Garoppolo is a nice quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. He's not the heir apparent to all these rings that they would win in New England had they kept him, but I think he's done exactly what they've wanted him to in San Francisco. But more than anything, they just run the ball with a lot of people, by the way. It seems like one after another keeps coming after you as far as running backs are concerned. Every year, it's like, every week, Mike, it was, who do you play? If you're a fantasy guy, I had Mostert at one time. I had Breda. And I'm like, who do you play on these teams? Who do you put in there? Coleman? It doesn't matter. They just keep coming at you in all different ways with all different guys. And then, of course, I mean, they're just loaded with talent on defense. First round picks all over the place. They have high draft picks. And, you know, they were aggressive this year. They did a great job. That's why the defensive coordinator was in the mix for some head coaching spots, especially in Cleveland. And I love this Super Bowl for this reason, Mike. I think this Super Bowl, at least, it makes me feel good that we're not having one particular style for both teams, which is, oh, well, here we go, smash mouth football, play defense, or, well, these are two teams that all they do is throw the ball, so there you go, that's all that matters in the league. This is a game, to me, where you have one team in Kansas City that really loves to throw the ball, and they can score a lot of points that way, and that's the preferred method, and then you have another team in San Francisco that says, defense still matters, and running the ball still matters, and that's how we're going to win.
Right, and I think that that probably means we'll be talking about and debating styles for 2 weeks, that, you know, both teams,
right.
You know, both teams got there in different ways, and you're right about how San Francisco, when I asked the question how they win, it's how they won yesterday and how they win sometimes, but they certainly can do more than just run it. I don't know if I just sprung that on you out of nowhere, but sure, next year's opener, sure. Who each team would play if they win the Super Bowl on Thursday Night Football to start the 2020 season. Mm-hmm. Sal, I think of the last year or two doing this with you as having been challenging because not always did the team that won the Super Bowl have a great schedule. And with the Patriots, there was some sameness to it that made it interesting to try to figure out what the NFL might do. And I've been wrong a few of these times in a row, I think, on this. But both the Chiefs and the 49ers have marquee opponents, even in their own division, especially in the case of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So whoever wins, it shouldn't be too much trouble to find a good opener.
Well, if Kansas City were to win the Super Bowl, I think some of that would determine and depend on what happens with the Chargers. And I think that if, you know, there's rumors that Tom Brady could go to the Chargers, right? I mean, there's rumors that he could go to different places, like the Raiders are the latest one. But let's just say Tom Brady did wind up there. I think that that would be a very interesting opening matchup, which is the Chargers with Tom Brady against the Chiefs. So you still have Brady Mahomes, but it's not Patriots Chiefs, it's Chargers Chiefs. But otherwise, Mike, I think the Houston Texans make a lot of sense. I mean, it would be a rematch of the game they played when the Kansas City Chiefs just stormed back. It would be Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes once again. I think that just screams primetime TV right there.
Houston, you like Houston that much. Also on their schedule, the AFC West teams, Patriots, Jets. The Chiefs play here next year, by the way. Atlanta, Carolina, and Houston, as you said. So the NFC South is the crossover. San Francisco, here are their options if they win it. Arizona, LA Rams, and Seattle from the NFC West. Philadelphia and Washington from the NFC East. Maybe Philadelphia would be an option. The Bills and the Dolphins. And then Green Bay. And I think I'd want to pass on another Green Bay at San Francisco game for a while.
Yeah, me too. I don't know if the league would, though. They still might love that and, you know, the eyeballs it would bring, or at least they think it would bring. But how about Seattle? You know, Seattle would be interesting. They played a great game, you know, and then had to play again in the or didn't play again, but set up a possible rematch for the playoffs. But they played a great game at the end of the season for the division championship. You know, I think the sneaky play here might be the Cardinals. You know, this is a interesting team that I think didn't Arizona beat them this year? I think, or it was really close. They had a really close game towards the end, and they might even beaten them. But you got, obviously, Kyler Murray and that team that's kind of up and coming, and I think people are intrigued by them. I think that'd be a sneaky play. I'm not sure if it would be the team, but I could see the...
Stay tuned. More with Sal Capaccio after this. This is WGR. Sal Capaccio at the Senior Bowl, Mobile, Alabama, which takes place this weekend. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. I don't think they won either of those two games. Maybe one of those games was a night game in Arizona earlier in the season. How about the Rams at this point? What are they?
That's a great question, Mike. You know, this actually piggybacks on another thought that people keep saying how tough the Bills' schedule is next year. And sure, I do think it's going to be tougher, but I don't think you can just say all of a sudden, well, this team is that good and this team is that good. Things change so much. I think the Rams are changing a lot. Teams have caught up with them and what they're doing on offense. I think the first sign of that really was what the Patriots did in last year's Super Bowl. And then this year, yes, they still scored a lot of points, but there were times when they just looked like they had no answers on offense. And then it was kind of feast or famine a lot for them this year at times. I think at the end of the year, they still had nice numbers, but that's a changing team. They don't have their defensive coordinator anymore, Wade Phillips, obviously. It's an interesting... I like the Bills and Rams, I don't think it's as daunting of a task for the Bills next year as some people seem to make it out to be when they look at next year's schedule. Same thing with the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks are a bit aging on defense. You know, they're still pretty good there, but you know, you've seen teams that were able to beat them and do some different things against them. So as much as I look at that NFC West next year and say, ooh, those are tougher teams than what the Bills face this year necessarily, if I look at the Bills' schedule next year and look at the NFC West, I don't know. I don't think all of a sudden, oh my gosh, they're only going to win one of these four games. I think all of these teams have interesting questions surrounding them going into the offseason, with San Francisco, to me, being still the best team and a team that's going to be very good again next year.
All right. If the Niners win it, my January 20th guess is going to – I'm going with Philadelphia for this, who would be the team on the season opener. I'm going with Philadelphia. Sal mentioned earlier he won't be at the Senior Bowl. He's down there, though, to cover it this week, and – He can't go to the Senior Bowl because he has to get back for the February Fix Fantasy Draft, which is on Saturday. So there would have been a conflict there. I know you're coming back for that. That's not really the reason. But
no, actually, it's the following Saturday, isn't it? Did we?
Oh, right. What I meant to say was you need to get back so you have a week of time to prepare.
Actually, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad we straightened that out. I'm actually coming back. I don't need to be there for the game, but I will be going. I'm taking Max to the Syracuse-Pitt basketball game next Saturday. How about that? That's what I'm doing.
This weekend?
Yes, this weekend. I'll be back for that. That's a noon start at the Carrier Dome.
Nice. Okay, so yeah, I'm sorry. I just screwed up. That draft is next week. Todd Gurley. We talked about the Rams for a minute. Do you think, I haven't thought about this really in any sort of context for any sort of time. You guys probably haven't either. Joe, you're in the league too. Is Todd Gurley a number one pick? Top 12?
No.
I don't think
he is anymore.
He's a no for both of you?
I wouldn't touch him.
All right, let's go. McCaffrey, Barkley, Dalvin Cook.
Elliott.
Is Aaron Jones go ahead of Gurley or no?
Yes.
You think so? All right. Michael Thomas. Right, Sal? Michael Thomas.
Sure, absolutely.
Hopkins.
Kamara.
Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb or Gurley?
Oh, yeah, Chubb. That's right.
Mixon or Gurley?
I think Nick Chubb. I think there could be a case... it depends on what you think about Mixon to me as a player, but his situation. He had a nice second half, by the way, though. He did.
Mixon?
Came on pretty good.
Huge.
I'll go Mixon.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Huge.
You said Barkley, right? Obviously. Barkley and McCaffrey. You said them both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait, what about Le'Veon Bell? Is he sneak back up there or no?
Ooh, Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell or Gurley? In the year 2020.
I'd go Bell.
I don't know why I can't like Gurley. Can I like him? Is he shot? No. Like, that was last year's question, is whether he was damaged physically. And I think he disproved most of those concerns. I thought he made it through. He got his volume. So am I supposed to think, like, the Rams can't function anymore? There were those games. I don't know. Maybe I end up with Gurley.
I know you guys talked about Gronkowski. I thought that was interesting. Does anyone draft Antonio Brown a week from Saturday?
Yes. Yes.
He's more likely than Gronkowski.
I think so, yeah. I think Antonio Brown, Gronk, Andrew Luck are all interesting. I think I would not expect Andrew Luck, but, you know, you get to the end of a draft, everybody's drinking, and they might not be able to think of anyone, and they think of Andrew Luck. I don't know. You've got two or three other quarterbacks by then, maybe. Maybe you do that. All right, Sal, thanks for talking February Fix with us and Senior Bowl and Super Bowl.
All right, catch up with you tomorrow most likely. And just check out, of course, WGR550.com because the Senior Bowl practices and media day start tomorrow, so we'll have content up there.
Very good. Thank you, Sal. Sal Capaccio in Mobile. Sal's Visits, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor, What's Your Outlet? All right, more with Sal from Mobile tomorrow. Thanks for listening today. Bulldog joins me at 3 o'clock. Sneaky Joe is next. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
Tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen, be free.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.